Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, August the 23rd. Very warm day here in Texas, but again, that has been a broken record here for the last 60 days or so. Today, we're going to talk about a little problem that many of us had over at Facebook over the last 24 hours. It's been corrected, thankfully, but it was maybe a case of censorship. I don't know. But I know that a bunch of people were having this problem, and I'll tell you about it in just a second. I have a post over at the American Thinker on Thursday morning about what is happening in Cuba and the fact that we have a new president, but we seem to have the same rules with respect to the treatment of the press. Not a good place to be a member or an independent journalist, that is, down in Cuba. But let me begin with this just absolutely outrageous story about impeachment. I mean, you thankfully, I was not stuck watching a lot of television last night. I was teaching last night, so I didn't have to sit there and watch television. But apparently we have three cable news networks, Fox, MSNBC, and CNN. But CNN and MSNBC just went crazy last night with impeachment. Panels about impeachment and how close President Trump is to impeachment and all this kind of stuff. And one network, apparently, and I saw this in Drudge, one network mentioned impeachment, the word impeachment, 233 or 223 times during their primetime programming. Folks, this is outrageously irresponsible. Look, impeachment is a pretty serious thing. You know, the founding fathers put it in there for a very important reason. You wanted to be able to remove a president in the event that the president was breaking the law. It's not supposed to be because we don't like the guy in the White House. And we all thought that Hillary was going to win, and therefore we're now going to destroy the guy who won the election. That's not really what this is about. What this is about, there has to be something credible. You have to write articles of impeachment. Those articles of impeachment have to be voted on in the House. And I know that I understand that many people are saying that if the Democrats take over, that they're going to impeach. I think that's easier said than done, by the way, if they take over, because they're going to have to make the case for impeachment. And if all they have is a bunch of shallow reasons, I don't think that's going to go over well with the public. President Clinton had articles of impeachment, perjury and obstruction of justice, but he ended up losing his license to practice law. I mean, that was a pretty serious charge. And back in 1867, when President Andrew Johnson was impeached, there was clearly a violation, or at least they thought he was abusing his executive powers. In both cases, whether it was President Johnson or President Clinton, it went to the Senate, and the Senate did not convict or remove the president. So all of these people who are talking about impeachment as if impeachment is just a question of having a vote on the House. Yes, I guess it is a vote on the House floor, but there has to be something substantial. There has to be something more than, well, you know, he, I guess, paid a woman to stay quiet. That's not in itself an article of impeachment. So I would caution everybody to just lower the volume a little bit. And I understand why MSNBC does it, because this is their style. They have to keep, you know, there are 3 million people every night just crazy talking about Trump. I understand why MSNBC does it. And I guess to some extent I understand why CNN does it, because they're trying to be like MSNBC, but it's really not working. I mean, they're being killed in the ratings. But I just think in general everybody needs to lower the volume a little bit and let the chips fall where they may. I mean, if there is grounds for impeachment, believe me, it'll happen. But on the moment, I don't see any. And I would recommend a lot of the people who are really invested in all of this impeachment stuff, I would recommend that they watch or read or simply watch, I guess, Professor Alan Dershowitz of Harvard Law, who has been pretty good about this and basically telling everybody, hey, just relax a little bit, relax a little bit. Let's not impeach people over politics. Let's not turn political differences into impeachable issues. Because if we do that as a country, if we start impeaching the other guy, this is going to be a nightmare. Everybody's going to get impeached. Because it's going to be, I got your guy, and you get my guy, and we're going to be impeaching each other's presidents from now on. And that's not what this is supposed to be about. So lower the volume, folks. Lower the volume, because there's way too much noise out there and not enough evidence to impeach President Trump or anybody at the moment. I mean, it's just crazy. What else can I say? Well, I mentioned that this morning many of us got up, wanted to look at our Facebook account. One of the things that I do is that I write a post over at the American Thinker, and when they publish it, I turn around and upload it or take it up or download it, whatever the word is. I post it over at Facebook, and all morning long, Facebook was resisting my American Thinker post, basically telling me that it's spam. And I said, what the heck are they talking about? So I would challenge their finding, and then I found out like 2 hours later that everything coming out of American Thinker was being rejected over at Facebook. Of course, American Thinker is one of the great conservative sites in the United States. And so I sent an email to Tom Lifeson, who is the editor at American Thinker, and then I read later that he wrote a post saying that a bunch of people were complaining about this. Well, to make a long story short, I guess they cleaned up the problem, and I was able to post my American Thinker post at Facebook. But, you know, whether this was an honest mistake or an innocent mistake, whatever, I think Facebook is going to have to come to terms with censorship, and they're going to have to realize that censorship is a very bad idea. Now, if they want to censor certain language or maybe certain type of violent actions or certain videos or whatever, I can understand that. But I think the best way to deal with censorship is to let the users determine what is offensive and what's not offensive. I mean, there are things that I've seen in Facebook that I just delete. And there are people for a while there who were putting up some outrageous things, and I just simply delete them. Sometimes I've even unfriended some of them because they're just crazy. But that's really the best way to deal with censorship, is just let the users determine what they should be reading and not reading, rather than Facebook. I think this is a real problem if Facebook or any other social media, frankly, begins determining what gets posted and what doesn't get posted, particularly when the content is political. I just think that's a big problem for Facebook if they start engaging in that kind of censorship. I just don't think it's going to end up well for them if they do that. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos.
This is Carlos Guerrero Harpiz. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sisiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sisiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos' website there on the show information. Right under show description, you'll see a link to his website. Get out and see Carlos. He is really a wonderful musician, as well as a great friend of our show. We've got some interesting birthdays. We want to say happy birthday today to Julio Franco. He was a great baseball player, played baseball here with the Rangers. And I guess that would have been the early 80s. Yeah, the early 80s when he played baseball. We want to say happy number 70 to Ron Bloomberg. He was the first designated hitter in Major League Baseball history back in 1973. And we want to say happy number 87 to one of the prettiest and loveliest women in television history, and that's Barbara Eden. And you probably remember her as I Dream of Jeannie, you know, the show that was so popular, I guess, back in the 60s. You know, I took a little time today and read a little bit about her life. She, I guess, was Miss San Francisco at one time. But if you see some of the images in the internet about this lady, she was a beautiful young woman in her younger days. I mean, she's very good looking now, even at 87. But man, was she attractive. I have forgotten just how beautiful and attractive she was. So happy number 87 to Barbara Eden. You know, I have a post about this over at Babalu later today, where I say that my mother Learned a lot of English while watching that show. I dream of Jeannie. What a great show that was. On this day in 1989, Pete Rose was kicked out of baseball. That was a very sad day for Pete Rose and frankly for baseball in general. And on this day in 1814, this is one that is really fascinating to me. It's one of those history details that just you always want to talk about it every year. It was on this day in 1814 that First Lady Dolly Madison, she was being evacuated from the White House because we were in the middle of the War of 1812. It started in 1812. It was still going on in 1814. Many people call that the Second Revolutionary War. And the British troops were approaching Washington, D.C., and were very close to the White House. They thought that they could be arriving at the White House in the next 10 or 12 hours. So they were evacuating the White House. And Dolly Madison, First Lady Dolly Madison, as they were evacuating some of the personal things, made sure that a portrait of George Washington, a big portrait of George Washington there at the White House, was removed and preserved. And she made sure that that was protected. And, of course, it was, and that portrait is still at the White House today. So good going, First Lady Dolly Madison. That was a great act of heroism and a great act of timing. And a great act, I think it also showed, frankly, how much the people of that generation, of James Madison and Dolly Madison's generation, how much respect they had for George Washington, that they wouldn't want to see his portrait being burned. It would have been burned, of course, as well as the White House was burned back then. So good going, First Lady Dolly Madison. I have a post over at the American Thinker today regarding what is happening in Cuba. You know, they have a new president. They're making a lot of hay, a lot of political hay, getting a lot of coverage about the fact that there's change going on in Cuba. That, man, there's change going on in Cuba. There's no change going on in Cuba. It's all a big fraud, a big farce. And one of the best examples of it is what is happening with journalists and what is happening with freedom of the press. Of course, in Cuba, there is no freedom of the press, as is the case in many one-party communist countries. What you have is one newspaper, the state newspaper. There is a couple of other, like there's a newspaper for young people, but it's basically a communist party state. And then I think you probably had, I think it's another one for the military. But again, it's all basically run by the communist party. So one of the things that's happening in Cuba now is that they're getting independent journalists, people who don't want to be associated with the state. They want to have their own blog. They want to do their own reporting. And some of these people are getting some very interesting news out of Cuba. I mean, Joanna Sanchez, for example, the blogger, is an example of this. But there's hundreds of others who are risking really quite a bit to get news out of Cuba and to tell us what's going on in Cuba. If you follow Babalu, you'll know that many of the things that they print are translations that they do of things that are coming out of Cuba in Spanish. Well, there's no change in Cuba. There's absolutely no change going on. And I think that this is happening for a couple of reasons, as I write in my post. Number one, this is what communists do. I mean, communist regimes have always been very intolerant of any criticism. So they're just being good communists, I guess I'll put it that way. But the other thing that we're seeing, frankly, here is how ineffective President Obama's opening to Cuba turned out to be. We got nothing for that opening to Cuba. President Obama could have demanded something out of Raul Castro, and Raul Castro would have said, "Where do I sign?" Because Raul Castro needed the United States a heck of a lot more than the United States needed Cuba. But we demanded nothing. We demanded nothing out of Cuba, and I think one of the tragic consequences of it is what is happening to the Cuban people. They're not getting anything out of this relationship with the United States, and they're certainly not getting any of the freedom, I think, that many of them thought would come with a better relation with the United States. So another tragic consequence of a weak foreign policy, as was the case of President Obama. We're going to be talking in a few days about what is happening down in Brazil, where former President Lula happens to be in jail at the moment. He's running for president. He wants to run for president. The amazing thing is that he's leading in some of the polls. He's sitting in jail, and some of the polls have him leading, which is pretty remarkable. We'll probably talk about that the next time we do a show. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.